And now it's time for this week's Please Explain.
Please explain.
Private health insurance has been attracting a lot of attention this year. Many feel it's not worth getting private insurance given the numerous exclusions found in the policy. Most people realise they are out of pocket by thousands of dollars each year simply by not reading the fine print on their policies. But what exactly is private health insurance? I spoke with Dr. Leslie Russell, an adjunct professor at the Menzies Centre for Health Policy at the University of Sydney, to find out more. Can you explain the concept of private health insurance?
Basically, the rationale for having private health insurance is that it gives you a greater choice and it gives you private accommodation when it comes to hospital. Private health insurance doesn't cover anything in the community that Medicare covers. And it is, if you go to a GP and your GP doesn't bulk bill and there's an excess amount of charge, private health insurance is not allowed to cover that difference. It only covers for doctors in a hospital system up to the Medicare agreed payment, and many doctors charge dramatically more than that, in some cases 10 times that. If you buy a policy with what is called either a gap, no gap, or a known gap, those policies obviously cost more, then some of that gap payment between what your doctor charges and what Medicare will pay may be covered. But the chances of all being covered are quite small. Then we have the sets of what we financial sticks and carrots to encourage people to buy health insurance. The carrot is the private health insurance rebate. As a single person earn less than $90,000 a year or as a couple earn less than $180,000 a year, depending upon your age and your income, you will get up to a 30% rebate for your private health insurance premium every year. The government pays that. If you earn more than those amounts, you get nothing. So that's the incentive for people whose incomes are moderate, in the moderate range, and again, depending upon age. The financial penalties are if you earn more than $90,000 as an individual or $180,000 as a couple, and you don't have hospital private health insurance, doesn't matter about the ancillaries, then there's a Medicare levy surcharge. It could probably work out for many people who are well-to-do that the surcharge for not having private health insurance and being self-covered, for example, is probably less than you'd actually pay for your hospital premium. The other penalty is what's called lifetime health cover. That's a 2% loading on your private health insurance premium for every year that you are over 30, up to 10 years. That's why you will see advertisements saying, are you about to turn 31? It's time to get private health insurance. Again, that only applies to the hospital part. Now, if all that sounds confusing, it is. And if people have questions, then at the very least, they ought to go online. And probably most people are going to need to seek some sort of financial counsel from people who don't have their own investment in how your decisions are made.
What would you consider when people are trying to choose a private insurer? What are the main factors they should keep into account when choosing that insurer?
If you already have private health insurance, here's how you should be looking at your budget. If you look back at what you have paid out in private health insurance in the last, say, 5 years, perhaps some people who keep good records could do it for 10 years, particularly if you look at ancillaries, I'm willing to bet that pretty much everybody is going to find out that they've paid out much more in premiums than they've ever collected back. Hospital cover is going to be different, but it's going to be different for every person. It depends on your financial situation. As I said, it depends upon where you live, because if you live in a remote or rural area, there isn't a private hospital facility for you to go to anyway. And it's also going to depend on your health status and whether or not you think you have either needed something like a cataract surgery, most of which is done in the private sector, or a hip replacement, or a knee surgery or something like that. If you're a young person who doesn't yet have private health insurance and you're thinking about whether you need it. Women who think they're likely to get pregnant will have a different sort of assessment of how valuable private health insurance might be for them than, say, a young unmarried guy who doesn't have a family yet.
Would you consider private health insurance to be a good investment?
My personal opinion is that it probably isn't the best. When there are surveys done that ask people what they think about private health insurance, and people are very dissatisfied with how much they pay and what they don't get back.
What do you find is one of the most common misconceptions about private health insurance?
The biggest misconception is that if I have private health insurance and I go into a private hospital, I'll be completely covered. And some people, depending upon what the procedure is, depending upon what the surgeon is, depending upon whether or not they need a prosthesis, you know, a device like a hip, an artificial hip, or perhaps a stent to open up their arteries, depending on what the anaesthetist charges, depending upon whether there's rehabilitation involved, whether or not there's a second attending surgeon in the theatre at the time that the patient is in the theatre. All of those things have a cost, and many of those things have what we call the gap payment, the out-of-pocket cost that the patient will have to pay.
If someone has a complaint about private health insurance, where can they go and complain?
There's a private health insurance ombudsman, and that person takes on responsibilities. But a lot of the time, the problem is that the information is spelt out in the policies that people have bought. It's just done with such a huge volume of paperwork in such a complicated way that many people have missed it or misunderstood it. That then gets quite difficult. But certainly the Private Health Insurance Ombudsman produces a quarterly report, and that quarterly report, the most recent quarterly report, has the largest number of complaints recorded in, I think it's the last decade, and it shows that increasing numbers of people, private health insurance rates went up and private health insurance rates now are going down, and we think that's because people are feeling financially pressured and they're doing what I said, which is that they're looking at their private health insurance budget and deciding that at least as far as their ancillary policy is concerned, and perhaps having the biggest, grandest, most expensive hospital cover is concerned, that they can no longer afford to do that.
Dr. Leslie Russell, Adjunct Professor at the Menzies Centre for Health Policy at the University of Sydney, ending that report.